Morning. Happy Father's Day to you daddies out there. Okay. I want to welcome you to Mallory Church of God here this morning. Father's Day. I want to thank all you your mothers for putting up with us daddies. Let's put it that way. A lot of patience on your part there. But we want to thank you dads for all the things that you do. Me and Tara was talking just a little bit about it before we come to church. Didn't have a whole lot of time to talk about it. But, you know, things of how times have changed, if you will. And I think a good father is just like a good mother is an absolute blessing to have, especially in the world today when your children need guidance, sometimes correction, if you will. You know, having a good dad, and I was blessed with having a good dad all my life, and you know, I'm one of the lucky ones, so to speak. So I appreciate that. But we want to welcome you this morning to the church service here at the Mallory Church of God. But today we're going to continue talking about the third part of a series that I began. We're going to finish it up, Lord's willing, if you will, next week. Got a little treat. Someone's going to help me teach a little bit next week. We'll announce it here toward the end, Lord willing. But we're going to start off with just sharing that third part of the vision, just because I know there's some people here right now that wasn't here a couple weeks ago. So I want to just share that real quick, because this whole thing will make sense. If I don't share it, it might not make sense to you. But in the third part of the vision, that was several years ago, when it spoke of, we've already touched on the technology part, we've touched on the persecution part, and now we're talking about the final part of that vision that took place in 2017. I remember when it was. And like I said, I can't tell you that I've had a whole lot of visions in my life, but this is one of them I know for sure. And the Lord gave me a understanding of it after several days of prayer and stuff. But in that third part of that vision, I found myself, the Lord was with me. I never saw him, but he was with me, as I told you before. And during that, there was this nice elderly lady, grandmotherly figure, looked beautiful, white hair, dark dress down to her ankles. She glowed. She was very radiant. Very nice, kind, precious grandmother, looking harmless, matter of fact, looked harmless. And during it, she had this little wicker basket, a little small wicker basket. And I noticed that she was reaching into that basket and taking out things and handing it to people. And the people gathered around her was clapping like little kids that was getting a cookie from their grandmother. And she'd reach in that thing and she'd give them one, and they'd grab it, and they'd just get kind of gobbled up. And she just kept doing that to those that were around her. And when they got done gobbling up, they'd run back for another one, and she'd give them another one, and they just ran around. They were just so giddy and so excited. Could you imagine a kid on Christmas would be what it would be like? And that's really what was going on. But during that, I remember very, very vividly noticing all at once, these wasn't kids, these was grown-ups that was acting giddy, that was receiving this from this elderly lady. And I remember at that moment when I realized that, at that very moment, saying to myself, Lord, what's this mean? And the Lord, without having to tell me, I just understood it, what it meant. And for the first time of that three-part vision, someone in that vision recognized me. And this elderly lady, who was kind and generous looking and motherly, she looked at me. And her countenance changed. Attack mode, so to speak. Very evil. Changed, just like that. And I remember the Holy Spirit coming on me. And I felt empowered, if you will, Benny. And I thought to myself, Lord, am I going to do battle now? And I heard the Lord say to me, no, not yet. And as soon as he said that, her countenance changed back, and she went back to doing what she was doing, and I lowered back down again. And I prayed for several days, wanting to know the understanding of what that was. And the Lord revealed it, as I've shared with you guys for 3 weeks now. But the third part of that vision, what she had, what she was giving, and what they couldn't get enough of, grown-ups couldn't get enough of, was false doctrine. It was deception. And that's what we're going to talk about today, where we are, where we're going, why, things of that nature. Well, today we're on the why part. You know, we talked a little bit about the first part, about the technology and how it's created for good, but the devil can use it for evil. Remember that several weeks ago? All things are like that. In other words, I remember a time, I'm sure some of you guys remember this that are older than me, when barcodes came out at supermarkets, and people thought that was the mark of the beast. It was a barcode. You know what I mean? It was a mark. It was a number, if you will. And so, and then I'm sure before my time, when movies came out, they were probably a big taboo. I remember growing up myself, I grew up in Greenville where we had a lot of game rooms. In those game rooms, they wasn't a lot. They would be like one little old pinball machine and a pool table.
But pool tables was looked very down upon when I was growing up. They just was. They really was. And I guess maybe it's because a lot of times men would gamble during it and stuff of that nature. I was just a kid. I'd stick my quarter up on the thing just to have the next game. I wasn't gambling. I just, you know, playing around with my buddies or whatever. But in other words, technology changes things. And every time something comes along, I'm sure the older generation looks at it with skepticism, rightfully so. And, you know, when computers come along, Google, Internet, what's that? It's one step closer. Absolutely. 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 100%. But, as we all know, the Internet can be used in good ways. You can FaceTime a family member that's living in different states. I don't know about you guys, but I remember growing up, I'm telling my age a little bit here, when I moved to Carolina, my mom and dad were still back here before me and Tara got married. When I'd leave Jeremiah to go back home, I'd come in on the weekends because Tara was still here and, you know, we were dating. But when I'd leave to go back, my dad would say, "Bub, call me when you get there." He wanted to know that I'd made it to South Carolina, North Carolina. And some of you younger kids, you ain't going to realize this, long-distance calling was expensive back then. So my dad, many a times, we had this little thing worked out that I'm sure some of you guys used it too. You have to collect call from, "Dad, I made it." And he'd hang up, Jeremiah, he knew I'd made it. "You have a collect call from, Dad, I made it." You know what I mean? And so, in other words, Internet, in some ways, I could have FaceTimed him now, sitting in my living room. You know what I mean? We could have had a conversation, wouldn't it cost me a dime? You know, so technology can be good things, but we also know how people misuse it. Now, the adversary, when he gets a chance, will twist it and bring about harm to families. How many homes have been broken up with relationships that started on the Internet? So the devil will always use it if he can. And then we got into the persecution part, and now we're in the deception part. Because that's what the whole thing is about. That was the culmination of the vision. I believe the culmination of where we're going is deception. What does deception fear? Anybody? What is the one thing deception fears? Exposure? Yeah. How about the truth? Deception does not want to hear truth, because if you have the truth, you can't be deceived. One thing I've always said, it and I know I give used car salesmen a bad rap. I'm sure there's some good used car salesmen out there, but if a used car salesman is just building up this car and building up this truck or whatever it is, and he's telling you, "Ray, it's da 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 da," but you pull the Carfax report, and you realize it's been totaled and it's got a salvage title. And the speedometer had to be set back, Bubby, because it used to have more miles on it at one time. Now all of a sudden you have the truth and he can't deceive you no more. The truth is the ultimate repel to deception. So deception fears the truth. And why? Because truth can confront sin. That's big today. Truth can confront sin. Let's say it that way. Why? Because sin is still sin. Folks, it will not change. Right is right, wrong is wrong. If you grew up in my house, you heard that 1,000 times a day. Right is right, wrong is wrong. But truth confronts sin. It calls for repentance. Do you know what repentance means? It doesn't just mean praying for forgiveness. Repentance means to turn away from the sin. So when you come to the Lord and repent of your sins and ask Him into your heart, you're asking Him to come in as your Lord and Savior, not just Savior, not just to get out of hell free card, Pearl. We want a Lord as well. We want to give our lives to Him. Let Him lead us. Let Him guide us. But we're also, without a shadow of a doubt, we're repenting. We're turning away from the lives that we've been living. The truth also requires humility, and it demands obedience. So the truth demands obedience. So in other words, if you're walking in the truth, okay, you're going to have to be obedient to the Lord. Amen? That's just the truth. What can deception do? Deception appeals to human desire, and it leads to certain things. Deception appeals to human desires. So in other words, it's going to play on something that the flesh wants. Okay? Some people say they want to hear the truth pearl, but they want to hear their version of the truth. That's just the way it is. All my life, some of you guys knew my dad, so you knew how blunt he was. Blunt to a fault. There was times that I would get squeamish around my dad when someone would say, "Teddy, what do you think about it?" Talk about my dad. And as soon as they said that, I'd do this. If you ask, "Teddy, what do you think about it?" And it was worse when he wasn't saved, Bubby. Honestly, it was. When he got saved, he humped it down a little bit. He was still going to tell you the truth, Vicky. He just was that. He was made of that cloth, and I grew up with that. But deception appeals to human desire and leads to success without surrender. Success without surrender. In other words, I done it. I earned that. It was all me. Let's forget that God gave you the ability to get out of bed every morning and go do it. Let's forget that God ordained that for that to happen for you and your family. It also is blessing without holiness. Ooh, that's a tough one, ain't it? What's that mean? God, we want you to bless us, but I don't really want to have to follow you. You ever heard of spare tire religion? That's what I call it, spare tire religion. Anytime I get in trouble, I'll call upon the Lord. I want the blessing without really having to follow you. Lord, you know I lost my job. Lord, I need another job. I ain't been in church. I ain't even prayed to you, ain't talked to you. Now all of a sudden I'm having a conversation with you. Now don't get me wrong, God can knock us down to make us look up. I understand those things. But then as soon as they get the job, then they just turn away from God again. They want blessing without holiness. That's deception. Okay? Also, salvation without repentance. Deception is salvation without repentance. That means, Lord, save me. I'm having a hard time. My wife's thinking about leaving me. Preacher preached on hell, and I realize I'm going there. Save me, Lord. But I really don't want to have to change. When I get up and leave and walk out to church, I really don't want to have to change the way I'm living. I want to continue to mistreat my wife or whatever. I want to continue to do the things that drove her away from me. I want to continue to do what I do with my buddies on the weekends, and I really don't want to have to get up and go to church on Sunday because I was out late Saturday night. Salvation without repentance. And then it can lead to religion over a true relationship with Christ. Deception can lead to a religion without a true relationship with Christ. How do I know this? There's people all through this world that believe if they kill you, they're doing it for God. It's religion, but that's not a relationship with Christ. None whatsoever. So deception is very real today. Deception is so important. How many of you know the scripture in Matthew chapter 24? It's one of the, I don't know if you guys was like this, but me growing up, this scripture was brought up a lot and read a lot in church. Wars and rumors of wars and famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places, all those things. And I've always found this amazing page that as important as that scripture is, and it's so important that Jesus wanted his disciples to know this, that he's telling them that the temple is going to be destroyed. It's so important that he hearkens onto the prophecy of Daniel, speaking of the last days, about the abomination of desolation. He talks about the sheep and the goat later on. So he goes all the way through the frame of time, even into the tribulation, and even until after the tribulation, speaking about this in Matthew 20, chapter 24. It's very important. It's a very, very important prophecy that Jesus gives. But do you know the first thing he says? And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." First thing he says, when he's talking about such important, weighty matters, is take heed. Beware! Lest somebody lead you astray, is what he's saying. Deception is very real. How do I know deception is very real? I'm living in the world today. One of the issues with deception used to be in the early church is they didn't have enough information, Jeremiah. One of the reasons Paul wrote the letters to the churches was to line them out, give them structure, give them direction. The Corinthian church was getting out of line with spiritual gifts, so Paul writes them a letter and tells them how it's supposed to go, all those things. The church at Thessalonica was afraid the rapture didn't happen. Paul writes a letter and explains what's going to happen and what to look for. So there wasn't enough information, so deception could kind of come in that way. Now we've got too much information. Now you don't know what to believe. You could watch something on your phone or your computer or whatever, and it comes across as the president saying something, and it's totally AI. It wasn't even him saying it. You don't even know what to believe anymore. So at one time when we didn't have enough communication, it was a deception, and now we've got too much communication, and it's still the same issue, deception. Do you think Jesus knew what he was talking about? I believe he did, didn't he? It goes on. Not only did Jesus talk about it, Paul brings it up quite often. How many of you know that Paul calls Timothy his son in the faith? Okay? Paul thinks highly of Timothy. Paul is a spiritual father of Timothy. We're talking about Father's Day today. We've got fathers. I've got a dad who's went on to be with the Lord. I have three sons I've been blessed with, and Jake is a father to Luke, and so forth and so on. I'm big on genealogy and stuff like that. I recently went and put my grandfather's, he was a World War II veteran, went and put his foot marker in East Lynn. So I'm big on respecting my elders. I'm an old soul, if you will. And so I look back on the genealogy and see the fathers, and I had good dads. I come from good lineage as far as they were good fathers, and I thank God for that. But that being said, we also have spiritual fathers, people that help us, spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers that help raise us up in the faith. So Paul was a spiritual father to Timothy. And so, as I would with my children, Pearl, if something was important, I'd want them to know about it. Every parent here, if they can give their children information that will help them, they're going to share it with them. They're not going to charge them for it. They're going to expect anything out of it. If you're a good parent, that's your job. So Paul, considering Timothy as his spiritual son, tells him in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1, he says, "Now the Spirit speak expressively, that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." So in other words, the Spirit speaks, and that's a big S, the Holy Spirit speaks expressly. That means it's spoken out distinctly. So Paul is saying this to Timothy. The Holy Spirit is saying distinctly. So what's that mean? That means the Holy Spirit is speaking so that you'll pay attention, that you'll understand this. I want you to distinctively understand this, Ray. I want you to really pay attention. This is important. That's what Paul is telling Timothy right now. That's his spiritual son. And he goes on and says that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Can I tell you something right now? I'm going to share something with you guys. This may not be popular with some of you, and that's fine. If we can agree to disagree, I still love you. Okay, but how many of you know we've said this a lot in the church, that it's the falling away. Can't get people to come to church because it's the falling away and things of that nature. Now, that being said, I do believe there is a falling away from good moral structure, good truth, people wanting to hear those things. It's a gradual deception that's coming. But when Paul's talking about the great falling away, as he talks to that church in Thessalonica, he's talking about the falling away that happens when the Antichrist comes. Because you got to read the next verse after it. That great falling away, that apostasia that takes place, that will set up the Antichrist, which is the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. That's what he's talking about on the falling away. That being said, this is where we're at right now. That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So in other words, those people that once knew the Lord and are not following the Lord now, it's not because of the falling away. They have given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's what it is. There's where we're at right now. That's where the church world is at now. They are departing from the faith. They are withdrawing, they're removing themselves, and they are deserting it. That's what that Greek word means. So in other words, Jeremiah, if I once had a relationship with the Lord and I chose not to have a relationship, I departed from the faith. I deserted it. I removed myself from that situation. That's what Paul warns is coming in the last days. In the last days, that's going to happen. People are going to depart from the faith. That's where we're at. The falling away of morals and integrity and character in our society, absolutely. It's a gradual decline. But when Paul's talking about the great falling away, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the Antichrist and things of that nature. But this is where we are now. People are departing from the faith. Why? Because they're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, if you can give heed to a seducing spirit, guess what that also means, Paige? There must be a seducing spirit. But those that want to stick their head in the sand in a religion and say that there's not spiritual warfare going on, I got news for you, that ain't scripturally. This right here says these people are giving heed. That means they're listening. They're giving an ear to. They're giving them the time of day. If Eve had never give heed to the serpent, she would have never done what she done. When someone comes to you that is a gossip and says, Leanne, come here, I need to tell you something. You've got two options right there. You can give heed to it, or you can go, honey, I ain't got time right now, and go on. If you give heed to it, they've got your ear. Once it enters the ear, now you've got to do something with it. Something stirs up. The emotions get involved. Do I believe it? Do I not believe it? Well, I tell you what, that does make sense, the way she's been treating me. Then now, all of a sudden, the devil's got his way. Now he's going to run with it if he can. Our minds, Terry, begin to take over. The deception, the lust of the flesh, the pride of the eyes, all get involved in it. But they are giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. A seducing spirit, by the way, is an imposter. Doctrines of devils. Paul said to the church, if anyone comes to you preaching any other word than what I do, let him be accursed. The only doctrine is the B-I-B-L-T. Sung about when I was a kid. That's the book for me. I stand upon the word of God, the B-I-B-L-T. That is the only truth in this world. Do you understand that? We as a country are getting ready to celebrate the 250th birthday. Thank God for that. I'm a proud American. Love the Constitution. But it is not the Bible. It never will be the Bible. The only form of truth is the Bible. The Constitution and laws can be changed. We've seen it in our lifetime. Things happen. Supreme Court rulings happen. And now anybody can get married. Whoever they want to. One day you can be a dog. One day you can be a cat if you choose to identify that way. Things change. Society changes. Okay? So laws can change. And yes, the Constitution can change as far as they can add a Bill of Rights to it. You have to 2/3 vote it with the state. But it can happen. They can add an amendment to the Constitution. So it can change. But can I tell you one thing that ain't going to change, Josh? The Word of God. The Word of God will never change. Ever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Jesus said that. Heaven and earth will pass away, my word shall not pass away. So the word of God is the only form of truth. They're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrines. Okay? How do you fool somebody with a false doctrine? When they don't know the truth of the Bible. That's how you do it. If you don't know for sure what the word of God says, I promise you this, the devil will fool you. I don't know who you think you are to think you're smart enough to get by against him on your own. I'm here to tell you, you can't. When he attacked Jesus, when Jesus had fasted in the wilderness for 40 days, he came to him and he misquoted scripture.
with the woman in the garden. He misquotes it, but he just misquotes it a little bit, Vicky. He didn't come out to Jesus and say, hey, blah, 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 something way out in left field. That's not what he's going to do, Pearl. He's going to walk out line, and then right there at the end, he's going to kind of do a little shift. If you'll buy that, then you'll buy the next one, and the next one, and the next one. Next thing you know, you're looking at ChatGPT and Googling answers that the Bible said is wrong. You're trying to look for a reason to be able to do something. Look for an excuse. Justification. The Bible says it's God that justifies. Amen? So they give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. If you've ever found yourself in a situation, I know these military used to do this often because, you know, back in Paul's time, they didn't have the doctors that we have today. They didn't have the medical understanding or knowledge that we have today. They didn't know how to tie certain things off, a tourniquet or whatever, if you will. So there was times that to stop the bleeding, they would have to take a hot iron and sear it, to cut it off and deaden the nerves and destroy the nerves, but it would stop it. But can you tell you something at then? Then you had no feeling there for rest. It was done. You had literally burned it. This right here says, those that give heed to seducing spirits, they're having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Their conscience. They can now no longer determine good from evil. They'll call evil good and good evil. That's what the Bible says. It was Isaiah that said that. In other words, they've got their conscience seared. That's where we're at today. They have been deceived. Now all of a sudden, if you ask them about this right here, it's something out in left field. Now we're left trying to make sense out of silliness. I've got a brother-in-law. He's a preacher. We text back and forth sometimes. And he'll hear something, you know, whether it's on the news or a situation, and he'll text me and he'll say, Teddy, what do you think of this? And we both have kind of come to the realization, Ray, that I believe we're living in the twilight zone. There's some things that make no sense whatsoever, Jeremiah. What seemed to be so blatantly right or wrong has now been grayed, if you will, somehow. Why? Because they gave heed to seducing spirits and doctrine, and they've had their conscience seared with a hot iron. They no longer can determine. They don't know anymore. Why? Because they have been deceived by the adversary from the only form of truth, which is the Bible, the Word of God. If you want to know how to get through the last days, you better know your scripture. You better know it, okay? Not only that, Paul goes on and tells Timothy again in 2 Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead, it's the ESV, by the way, and by his appearing in his kingdom. So who judges the living and the dead? Jesus. So what's that mean? That means Jesus is going to be the judge at the white throne judgment. He's going to be the judge at the bema. All judgment has been given to him. Why? Because he died on a cross for our sins and he rose from the grave. Because you have done this, I'll give you a name that's above every name. That's what the Father is commanded to him. So Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Now see, here's a part that the world don't like today. Sometimes, unfortunately, in the church don't like today. Okay? Reprove. That means to help correct if they have wronged and be willing to show it by example. Sometimes people need to be reproved. So in other words, Pearl, if I just don't know better, I don't know better. That don't mean that I want to do anything wrong. I messed up. And Ray come by and said, Brother Teddy, you know, here's what the Bible says. Oh, I'm so sorry, Ray. I don't know that. Young Christians can be very, very influenced by this. Instead of throwing rocks at them, you reprove them. Pull them aside and say, here, brother, here's what the Bible says in the book of Matthew, how we're supposed to handle a situation. You reprove them. Ready for this? Some you rebuke. That's harsh, ain't it? Nobody likes to be rebuked. Rebuke means you're willing to stand on the truth of God's word, even if it's not convenient. Because there's going to be times that you've got to dig your heels in. There's going to be times, I'm just telling you right now, in these last days, and I think going more so forward than we are now, that you're going to have to dig your heels in and go, you know what, I can't accept that. That's not what the Bible says. I've been here for 14, 15 years now. know one of the things that I've shared for a long time, I don't know if I've been sharing it this long, but I have shared this with you. You're going to have to be willing to look someone in the eye eventually in your lifetime, I promise you that, and tell them, this is what the Word of God says. I don't care if it's a family member, a friend, or a neighbor. Can I tell you something right now? One thing I would encourage you right now to do is get these words right here, I'm getting ready to say to you, get these words out of your vocabulary. Well, in my opinion, get that out of your vocabulary. Nobody cares about your opinion. Your opinion holds nothing. My opinion holds nothing. But when you open a sentence with that or a statement, well, in my opinion, when you're just giving the devil an opportunity to say, well, that's your opinion, here's my opinion. Okay? You're giving place to the devil, really, when you go that route. So instead of doing that, know the Scripture, know what the Bible says, and then when you approach that situation, say, well, here's what the Word of God says. Because that is the ultimate truth. That holds way more weight than my opinion does. So if I step into a situation and you say, well, Brother Teddy, what do you think about this? Well, I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about it, Terry. That kind of stops a little bit, doesn't it? Know the Word. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. That's the ESV. So in other words, they're going to raise people, they're going to want to hear teachers and preachers that tell them what they want to hear. That's where we're at. Why is deception so big today? Because they're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and they're raising up people that tell them what they want to hear. Man, does that sound like today? Am I the only person that notices this? I hope not. I hope we have enough Bible in us to go, you know what, brother? That's true. That's true. That's probably why each news organization, they're so-called news organizations. I say so-called news organizations. They don't report the news anymore, folks. I don't care which is your favorite platform. They don't report the news anymore. The only really form of news anymore is probably your local news that's reporting on the storm that happened in the Kanawha Valley yesterday. Because one group will put this bunch of people around the table, and they'll sit and talk about this point. They'll have the one voice that speaks against it, okay? And then the other news organization, so to speak, will have the other one, and then they'll have their one that'll argue them. So it's basically a three-on-one in any way you want to look at it. Is that news or is that? We called that talk shows when I was growing up. You remember Phil Donahue? Then Oprah Winfrey? That's what Fox and CNN are right now. I don't know if you know that. I don't know if it's dawned on you. And I can understand why I like this viewpoint better. I get that, but that's not news. They're trying to influence you one way or the other. That's what it has become. So people no longer know what to believe. People in suits and high, you know, they got good education. They seem like they know what they're doing. They see that we should do that. What's the Word of God say about it? If we don't know what the Word of God says, do we? We're going to be deceived. That's why knowing the Scripture matters. Jesus, in the whole context of Matthew chapter 24, when he's talking about wars and rumors of wars, end time thing, he said, take heed. Don't be deceived. The first thing he said. So if deception is so big, if deception is so real, if the woman was given the goodies out of the basket, why? Because they wanted that. It made them feel good. It reinforced the way they were thinking was correct. That's why she was given. They was coming back for more and coming back for more. But in these last days, God is going to raise up people to battle that. You understand that? Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. You understand that? The church is His bride. It's His bride. He bought it with His blood on Calvary. It's blood-bought, spirit-filled people that follow Jesus, that know the Bible. Those are the ones he's calling out of here. You understand that? Not those that straddle the fence and do lukewarm things. That's not going to work. Not those that are deceived. But because deception is going to be so rampant, here's the thing about it. Would he leave us unable to do it? Would he leave us unequipped? Absolutely not. In these last days that Peter even says we're in, by the way, I've heard this before from people. And if you're watching Facebook Live or streaming or whatever we do, if you're watching any of that and you hear this, you'll definitely probably never bring this up in front of me. But I love the few times that I have heard this because I've absolutely applied this scripture to it. I've heard people say it before, Brother Joe. The rapture. I heard that all my life. Heard that all my life. Jesus was coming. I've heard that all my life. I know. And you're fulfilling prophecy by your statement. Peter said in the last day the prophet would come. And they would say, where is the promise of his coming? Ever since the fathers have fallen asleep, that's all we've ever heard. Guess what? There's where we're at, Ray. I've heard that all my life. Guess what? You're fulfilling prophecy by your very words right now. Scoffers would rise in the last days. Where is the promise? He ain't coming back. We can live like we want to live and do what we want to do. Who is this Jesus? That's what they're saying. Peter said, be aware of that. There's going to be scoffers that do those things. That's how you'll know you're in the last days. But would Jesus leave us ill-equipped? Would he not equip us? Absolutely not. The Bible speaks about these last days. It also gives us something for us to understand. For one, Paul also told Timothy to study to show yourself approved. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing. Amen. So we are to study. That's not just preachers, guys. You understand that? A lot of times it's quoted in a preacher context. Workmen need not be ashamed. Study, show yourself approved. Be instant in season, out of season. Da, 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 da. Got to tell you, that's all of us. We are to study. Why do we study? So we don't be deceived. And listen, if you're somebody that has a good grasp on Scripture, praise God, but your children might not. And your children or your grandchildren, whatever it is, it's our responsibility to hand that down every generation. It's our responsibility, amen? On this Father's Day, I thank God that I had a dad that taught me those things. On this Father's Day, Brother Charlie, I thank God that I had a father that told me who the Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings was. I thank God that every Easter as a kid, whenever we was getting our little Easter basket, you know, the cellophane ones that was given in the 80s, they all was about the same. We come in the old house and we get it. It was on top of the washing machine. Don't know why they picked the washing machine, but that's where it was. But I remember being a kid, you know, because you got a little bit of candy and maybe a little cheap toy or whatever it was, being excited. I remember my dad at that point stopping and said, Bub, I know this is nice, but what's Easter really about? He'd make me stop. He said, because it was when Jesus died on the cross and rose to pray. Thank God for good fathers that set those examples. On this Father's Day, we're blessed if we have one that has directed us those ways, that has taught us those things. I had a dad that told me one time, I'll never forget as long as I live, and I live by it. He said, Bub, he said, no matter what anybody ever tells you, it doesn't matter who it is that says it, the Bible is always right. They can be wrong, but the Bible never is wrong. And that stuck with me, Terry. It stuck with me. It's kind of formed that thing in me that if whatever you believe is against Scripture, I'm not going to follow you, if you will. It kind of set the tone early for me to really believe what the Bible said, and that come from a father who knew that. Okay? It's our responsibility to do that for the next generation and the generation after that. Amen? That's the responsibility of a good father. Just like we need to be good fathers, good examples for our children and grandchildren, we have been given a good example from our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now that same Son has equipped us and empowered us. If deception is going to be so real and so poignant in the last days, don't you think He would prepare us and equip us? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10, there are spiritual gifts that are given. Listed, and it says, for no one is given the spirit of utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing of one Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits. Discerning of spirits was one of the spiritual gifts. Jesus when he goes back to the Father, he tells them, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you orphans. I will send you the Comforter. That Holy Spirit will teach you in all things. He'll even bring up things that I told you of. He'll bring them to your remembrance. Have you ever been in a situation before where it felt like it was the whole world against you and they was doing this and you didn't really know what to say, and the Holy Spirit immediately said, here's what you do. He will teach you my ways. God said, I'll write it on your heart. How does he write his word on our heart? Through his Holy Spirit. We read the scripture. We study to show ourselves approved. And guess what? When the time comes, the Holy Spirit will bring it to our remembrance. But we got a little bit of work to do. Nobody can dig a hole without grabbing a shovel first, can they, Jeremiah? It works a lot better with a shovel and a pickaxe, don't it? Each one of us have the ability to study to show ourselves approved and have the Holy Spirit of God walking and living inside of us. And you know what? If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, those spiritual gifts can come operational. The discerning of spirits will let you know something's not on the up and up here. You go to pray for somebody and lay hands on them, the Holy Spirit will let you know what's going on. There's a spirit of oppression, a spirit of fear, a spirit of anxiety, whatever's going on here. How many of you know that there was one woman in particular, she walked around like this? Jesus didn't perform just a normal miracle for her. He didn't do like the woman with the issue of blood or raise Lazarus from the dead, daughter of Abraham. He cast out a spirit of infirmity. She straightened right up. That was a discerning of spirit. There was a spirit that had brought that on her. You and I cannot know those things. The Holy Spirit is the one that reveals those things. Gifts of the Spirit equip the church to operate in these last days. You need to be saved. You need to be sanctified. You need to be set aside. You need to be holy, for I am holy, the Bible says. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we're living in the last days, folks. Think, man, this is a good Father's Day message. Well, it just the way it fell. If you grew up in my household, the number one job of my dad was to protect his children. God wants to protect us. Deception is real. Understand what's before us. Understand these things. Realize from a generational standpoint, we have a responsibility, whether you're a mother, a father, grandmother, a grandfather, to tell our children, our grandchildren, or great-grandchildren, if God's blessed you, to tell them about Jesus, to set that example, because the only thing that is worth